This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast with Dean, Dylan, and Venus.
This is Mad Wednesday with Dylan, Dean, and Venus. We have a very special guest. It's Leah Delaria. Yeah!
You were here for Mardi Gras and having an absolutely fantastic time, as I could tell. But you're actually coming down and you're bringing your show, Leah Delaria, live in concert.
That's absolutely true. And first of all, let me say, I loved Mardi Gras. I've never had so much fun in my life. What a party. You guys know how to throw it down there, let me tell you. I danced for the entire, I never sat down. And now I'm in with my show.
I was at the start of the parade and I just saw you dancing and putting all your heart's content in there and all this emotion. I just imagine you'd have to be all the way down the street and still boogieing. What gets you so excited?
Well, I mean, I've been to all the queer events. I've been to all the pride. Really, this was the last one that I needed to go to. So for me, that was really exciting. So I was like, I really always wanted to go to the Mardi Gras in Sydney. So that was really exciting for me. And then getting to be there with Yahel and with Samira and with Danny, you know, with Jonathan Groff and just, you know, with all my friends from Netflix and stuff. That was just so much fun. So much fun.
Now, a lot of people obviously know you as Big Boo from Orange is the New Black. You are so great on that show and so entertaining. Obviously, like we were saying before, that's not all that you do. I mean, you're a singer, you're a comedian, and I think it's really exciting that you're coming out here with a show that's highlighting all the variety of what you bring to the stage.
Right. I mean, that's what I did before I started acting in television. I mean, the reason I got into acting was because I was the first openly gay comic to perform on television in America. So that was in 1993.
Oh, wow.
So I had been touring at that time for at least 10 years. I've been on the boards for 10 years at that point, actually 11, doing what I do, which is stand-up comedy and singing. I do both, and I combine them, mostly because my stand-up comedy is so loud, so fast, so vulgar, so in your face. People can take it for about 5 minutes, and then they're like, Mommy, make it stop!
Stand-up comedy is so personal.
Yeah.
Is it hard to not be openly gay and be a stand-up comic?
Is it hard? No, I didn't find it difficult at all. It's all I've ever done. I've never not been openly gay when I performed.
We were looking at the press release and there's a lot of info about you, and for years you were constantly cast as this type of lesbian or this type of authority figure, like the butch woman type of thing. But it seems to be, you know, you've certainly taken those roles and had a lot of fun with them and brought a lot to what that means as a performer.
Well, I think it's good that they finally cast actual butches and lesbians in actual butch and lesbian roles, because I spent a lot of time in my youth losing lesbian roles to absolute heterosexual women. I mean, you got to remember that the majority of our stories at the beginning of my career were all being written by straight men and acted by straight women, and it's like, what the heck do you know about my life? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that this is happening now is very, very exciting. It's very, very exciting.
Did you have to get acting tips from those straight women over how to play a lesbian?
No, I never did. No. And they never asked me for any. I wish Cher had before she did Silkwood. I can tell you that right now. There's a lot more to be a lesbian than putting your hands in your pockets, Cher.
What would be your tips if Dean and I had to play a lesbian to use our acting chops? What would be your tips to be playing a convincing lesbian?
Or just cast an actual lesbian, I think is what we're going with.
I have no tips. I just want to watch you do the research.
Well, I mean, the beauty of it being here at Joy, which is Australia's LGBTI radio station, that's very easy to do because there's so many people from the community here. And everyone was ridiculously excited, is so excited, not that just you were here for Mardi Gras, but that you're coming back with your show. We had to fight everybody to get this interview with you, so we're completely chuffed that we're actually even getting the time to talk with you. Now, you're coming and singing along some jazz songs and everything, which is absolutely awesome. You've been doing jazz and scat and everything for years, yeah?
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. I started out, my father was a jazz pianist, so I performed with him in nightclubs when I was a kid. That's why it was just a no-brainer for me to incorporate the music into the show once I discovered that my like 30 minutes of me yelling at people was more than they could take. So, and then once I did, it was like, that's just what I've been doing. I mean, what you're going to see me do, hopefully a lot better than it was then, I've been doing since 1982. This is exactly how I do a show. Oh, that, I always liked it.
That's so cool, especially with all that kind of diversity. Do you find, I mean, coming here to Australia, because a lot of people will know you as Big Boo because, you know, it's Orange is the New Black. That's what they see. That's what they know. So is it great to kind of show people, nah, there's so much more to me than just that one character you see on the screen?
Oh, I love that. That's my entire career has been basically don't judge a butch by its cover. that's been it. So when I would go up, like, especially when I perform at jazz clubs, you know, sometimes when people don't know who I am or whatever, they see this big butch walk up on stage and I see them. I can see them like cross their arms and go, well, what's this big fat guy going to do, right? And then I do what I do. Generally, usually about maybe a quarter of the way through the first song, I can literally see everybody change their minds in the room. Kind of a great thing.
That's absolutely awesome.
You have less than 45 seconds to change everyone's mind about what they think is normal, natural, and right. And you do it.
What's kind of nuts when I'm just even thinking about that is, I mean, that's it, for putting together a show. Like, we keep talking about all these little sections of time, people get you in this extreme, then that extreme. Are you exhausted at the end of a show like the one that you're bringing, or is it just even more exhilarating?
Oh, no, it's even more exhilarating. I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm very old school show business. So as soon as I'm done with my show, I will be running around all night. I won't sleep. It takes forever for the showbiz energy to get off me. You guys are going to have to point me in the right direction of where people will be partying after my show.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think everyone's going to be happy and ready to rock and roll with you.
Sounds great.
You've been to Australia before. What can you expect from your Australian tour, your Australian crowds? What do you know the locals? Are you getting with the lingo? Have you done your research?
Yeah, I generally, I know a lot of the lingo. Yeah, I know. Well, there is no lingo. You guys just put E on the end of everything. You know, to make it the form of the word. And you're talking Australian slang. I mean, the one that got me was crack a fat. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life. when Mark Trevorrow explained to me what crack a fat meant, I thought I was going to lose my mind. But, you know, every now and then we get into it. I don't know. I hope I can tell the story on radio. When I was in Sydney with Danny Brooks, we went a little earlier than other people because Danny had never been before, so we were kind of romping around. And she wanted to go, she went into Gucci because she wanted to get a bum bag. In America, we call them fanny packs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she goes in, walks up to this very austere Gucci guy and says, excuse me, where are your fanny packs? And I'm such a jerk, I did not. I just let her do it. And she said it like four times. And every time she would say it, this little pissy kind of officious queen that was working there, every time she would say the word fanny, his face would just jump what happened to his face.
You have to be cruel to be kind.
It was like the best thing ever. I'm single. I am totally single.
You've been quoted that you have something and you will travel.
Oh, of course. Wow. I'm going to be packing when I come to Australia. I don't go anywhere without that.
So did you, when you were here for
months... The Terminator, honey.
Or when, Terminator 2.
When you were here for Mardi Gras, were you just kind of blown away with all the fan attention that you get, especially from the ladies?
I'm blown away by all the fan attention I get everywhere. So it's like, you know, it hasn't gotten old yet. I mean, we hit the airwaves in, what, 2013. So yeah. At this point, it's been 5 years for me. And it's since then, everywhere I go, it's not just Australia. I mean, it's watched by 100 million people in 190 countries. So everywhere I go, it's that reaction. I think the best part of having it at Mardi Gras was that there was a larger gathering of hot femme lesbians than would normally be seen in Sydney, I think, because they were coming from all over.
Yeah.
So that made it way more interesting.
So what's on your rider when you travel? Are you what type of ladies are you looking for? Are you just for anything, just to call it out just while you're here? Buy tickets.
Yeah, that's on my rider, that once I'm off stage, they have to provide me with an 8-ball and a couple of hookers.
Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to get you down here. We certainly can't wait to see you. Leah Delaria, I mean, we've had a bit of a crackly line, but God, it's been such a fun treat chatting to you.
Absolutely. Will I see you guys at the show?
Oh, absolutely will. And you can all go there and go and see Leah Delaria live in concert coming to Melbourne on Thursday the 7th of June at the Melbourne Recital Centre. Tickets are on sale right now. Get them at melbournerecital.com.au. What else are you waiting for? Go and see Leah Delaria. She's going to make you laugh. You're going to hear her sing. It's everything. You know, you just can't wait for it. Go and get your tickets now.
Big Boo's on furlough in Australia.
If you're not happy with my show, I will find a way to make you happy. Come on, Lingus. I'll give you.
I'm not sure if that would be useful for us, but I think we're going to enjoy the show.
So. I mean, you've heard how much Jill has laughed just chatting to you here, so I think there'll be plenty of laughter seeing you live.
You're the one that wanted to do research on playing lesbian characters.
Cunnilingus is the way to learn.
Never done it, willing to learn.
All right, well, there you go. You heard it first. Leah Gelaria, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Drive on Joy.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.